Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, namahi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at CAB, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well.
Well, today we're actually out in the field for the first time, Tom, as you well know, wanting to talk to Kirsty Alston, who's the Food Bank and Financial Services Team Leader at City Mission. Our topic today is food security. So we hope to learn more about how the food bank works and as much as we can about this wonderful service offered to our community.
Sorry.
Not a problem.
Hi,
Kirsty.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Kirsty. So, hey, thanks, Kirsty, for allowing us to visit you today in your workplace at City Mission and to talk about the food bank. And just looking around, this is the first time I've been here and it looks amazing. As you know, I'm Ronnie and I know you know Tom already. I think you also know about the work that we do at CAB.
Yes.
So you've got a context for why we want to talk with you.
Yes.
Just to talk about your organisation. So, Kirsty, how long have you been working here?
So I've worked for the City Mission for about 2.5 years.
Right. And so tell us a little bit more about what your specific role involves. I introduced you as the food bank and financial services team leader.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Yeah. So I look after basically the whole elements of the food bank. So that's the Pūmanaki, our South Shore food bank, our parcels. We've got a warehouse at the back where we've got inwards goods, outwards goods, everything coming and going. So I oversee all of that with a team that work in there. And then I also look after financial mentors. So I have three financial mentors that run that department next door, and that's a combination of a full-time person and a part-time team.
Okay.
They help clients with their budgeting, any sort of debt management, sort of understanding how to manage that debt. That's what that team does. And also in with the financial mentor is our food bank assessors, who your clients or anyone will ring to book in to come into our food bank.
Okay, because we're looking forward to learning more about how that operates.
Yes.
Obviously your role is quite broad.
Yes, there's a lot to it.
And I can see that there are connections, again, amongst the financial things and the work that you do with the food bank as well. I guess there's been a lot of changes over recent years, you know, post-COVID with the fallout there, etc. And, I mean, our observation, certainly in the work we do, is that times are pretty tough.
Yeah,
and you know, with rising prices across the board, rent, accommodation issues, food insecurity, losses, housing worries, all of those kinds of things. But I know that food insecurity is a really big issue for families trying to cover these. So maybe you could tell us a bit more about the food related, you know, the food related services that you offer here at City Mission.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have two ways to access food in our food bank here. So the first one is our Pūmanaki, which is our South Surf food bank. You can basically get points assigned based on your family size. You can come in and you can have a shop around, which you'll see all the price points. There's limits and bits and pieces just to make the food go a bit further. And when we do the limits, it's around on like the product type. So cereal, you could take two types of cereal. And you can just basically pick and choose what you know your family's going to need and I guess what your kids and stuff are going to eat. You might have dietary requirements. So we try and accommodate. We've got gluten-free section here. So we encourage people to come in here. We do two shops in here before we get you do a pre-packed parcel, which is our other option, just to sort of make it feel, this is very popular. I'm trying to get as many people through here that we can help support, as many clients as we can help to support. Say that we do 30 minutes booking times,
right?
You need to be on time. If you're past sort of within 5 minutes or 10 minutes over, they will reschedule you because we're quite time constrained. We have five clients every 30 minutes from 9 o'clock right through to the last one comes in at 11:30, and then we open up again at 1 o'clock and the last group comes through at 3 o'clock. And so we're trying to, we sort of serve 55 people a day through the South Serve. And we're genuinely pretty full every day in here. We're mostly booked out 24 hours in advance now.
Okay.
And then the other food option is a pre-packed parcel. So it's sort of packed with all your basic staples, pantry staples. And there's different sizes, again, depending on your family size. They'll have things like baked beans, spaghetti, pasta sauces, you know, rice, everything that you can kind of make meals with. And then on top of that, you'll get another box, and that'll be fresh frozen items. And it sort of varies depending on what we've got available. It's pretty much like in here, it'll vary in the fresh and frozen depending on what we've got available. And we make it really fair. So what you'd get in the shop would be very similar to what you'd get out the back.
Okay. So Kirsty, you said that the first interaction is to do a couple of shops here, and
yes,
then you might go to that. Now, how do people get to come to actually do that in the first place?
So they need to ring up and book. They need to ring and talk to one of my food bank financial mentors. To come into the South Serve, we do ask that you have photo ID. And so we do require photo ID. And this can be sort of any forms of sort of photo ID. It can be, you know, we take corrections, paperwork. We take your driver's license, an 18 plus card. You know, we even take photocopies from, you know, if you've got your ID at Wins, you can go get a copy of that and bring that in. So we're happy to accept that. But we do require photo ID to come into here.
Okay, yeah, so that you know that people are here with genuine reasons.
Yeah.
And so how often can people access your services? So you talked about coming for a couple of visits and then you could move perhaps to the pre-prepared packages.
Yeah.
How many times a year or a month or whatever?
So we do it every 7 weeks.
Right.
And sort of after, that's where we sort of do, you do two food supports and then the third one is a pre-pack.
Okay.
And then we go back to two, you know, South Serve shops and then pre-packed.
That's every 7 weeks.
Yeah, we are an emergency food service. So I think we need to sort of, that's part of the reason why we do the pre-packed, is we are an emergency food service. We sort of pivot within 24 hours to support people when they ring in. So we only book 24 hours in advance because people's food situation can change day to day.
So you said that people need to come in and prove who they are. Are there any other criteria that are put in place for eligibility to access your service?
We do. I guess the only other thing is it's around the household. So the
right.
food is based on the household, not the person. So we try to support the households, like, rather than each individual person in the household, just to make it fair for everybody
right.
as well.
Okay, that's an amazing service. I'm really interested too, and I read on your website, for example, that you're supplying food to over 40,000 people a year,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing and a lot. And your stats say that in 2024 you provided nearly 875,000 meals, which
yes.
is quite astounding, really, and that is huge. So how do you keep up with demand?
We know what we can do well, and we stick within our boundaries of that. We know that we can support 88 clients a day, and we sort of stay within our numbers. We don't extend that unless there's extreme circumstances. We work really hard to get support from community groups, from organisations, businesses, to try and provide sort of donations and food. It's, you know, we do buy a lot of what we have here, so it's trying to get like the best deal for those products. That's sort of a lot of what I do in the background, is trying to sort of make our money go, just like everyone else, a little bit further.
Yeah. Have you noticed that things have got tougher?
Significantly.
Yeah. In what ways?
I guess we see the price of food going up. We see that the donations are slowing down. The mum and dad donations that we used to get are definitely slowed down dramatically. And corporates aren't donating the same. The reducer sale supermarkets have taken a lot of that short-dated stuff.
Right.
And so that's not as available to us as it was before.
Right. Okay. I mean, what connections do you have with other organisations doing kind of similar work in the community? Do you actually actively network with any of those?
So it's slowed down a little bit in the recent times, but we used to have a sort of a quarterly check-in with some of the other food banks in the community. But we all sort of can pick up the phone and sort of talk to each other and see, you know, what's happening, do you need help? From any of them, I'd feel comfortable talking to them. We're part of Aotearoa Food Network New Zealand, and also we're part of New Zealand Food Bank Network as well. So they have great connections across New Zealand. So often I'm heading away for hui's or on conference calls, talking about what's happening in different parts of New Zealand, how is everyone else feeling, and sort of contributing to sort of making some changes in that space there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge mission, isn't it? It's what you're doing is requires, you can't sort of stop and take a breath, really, can you? You just have to keep ploughing ahead because the need is so great. You said that businesses are, what role do they play in actually supplying amounts of food here? Supermarkets, other corporates?
Yeah, so we have some great relationships with a number of different businesses that we may purchase stuff at sort of cost price,
right.
Or they do donations. So some of the supermarkets, you know, they'll come in and, you know, give us some money to spend to get some items in, or they'll, again, we'll work with them to get some items in at reduced prices. So there's a lot of bit of relationship building going on in the background just to sort of try and get the donations, but also, you know, we've got to support them as much because we need to keep them going too. So it's about, you know, they'll donate and we can buy, and just getting the best price that we can for those items.
This seems like a really amazing idea, the supermarket. Is it unique? What is it, a point of difference for you as an organisation, or is it something that's being picked up and used more widely around the country now?
It was around more in the North Island.
Right.
In the South Island, I think in Christchurch, we were one of the first ones to create, I guess, the South Surf Food Bank. A lot of them call them social supermarkets.
Right.
And I guess for us, we want it to be still known as a food bank because that's what we are, but with, I guess, dignity is what a lot of our clients would say. It's about helping them out, but sort of giving them options as well.
Yes.
And I know that there is another one here in Christchurch that's recently opened through the Salvation Army.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So it's about giving people choices
and
feeling like they do have control over what they can take home for their
absolutely.
Families.
And, you know, for people asking for help and getting food, just being handed a box is great. Don't get me wrong, it is great. But having a space where they can come in and select also sort of normalizes it. It's okay to ask for help. It sort of makes it a safe space. It allows us to make additional connections to our clients. Have, you know, clients that we know quite regularly. We can offer additional support through different services that we offer here. You know, we might hear someone's lonely, so we might tell them about our Women's and Men's Day programs where they could connect. We might have, you know, people having financial difficulty. You know, we've got our financial mentors that we can connect them with. So I think it allows us to make deeper connections with people and offer other solutions that they may not know about.
Right. So it's actually, you do deal with wraparound services, the concept of ho'ora, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very much
supporting
so.
The whole person and seeing that this is part of that, but you actually can support them in other ways too.
Yeah, and, you know, being able to give them food is one thing, but trying to help them in other avenues is another. Money can be really stressful.
Yeah. What do you see as the biggest challenges facing you as an organisation and in your work?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the biggest challenge, and I guess it's probably more from a client's perspective, I can't see a lot changing anytime soon. So it's how do we continue to support our clients and ensure that they've got the right support around them and they know where to go to get it if they need it.
So you need a real sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Obviously too. So what do you enjoy the most about your role?
Helping people, basically. It fits in with my values about, you know, giving back and supporting people.
Yeah, we get that too.
Yeah.
Particularly the most vulnerable in our communities.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that we can't assume that there are vulnerable people and non-vulnerable, because I think everyone is vulnerable these days.
I think the way everything's changed recently, it's made those some people who perhaps didn't feel that space is now coming into that space. Yeah. Like the working, you know, the working family are now really starting to have to step into that vulnerable space, which is uncomfortable for them. So it's about, you know, working with them to feel more comfortable being in that space, and that it's okay, we're here for that.
Yeah, that is an amazing thing to be able to offer, I think. And in what ways can other people in the community support you? What kinds of things can the community do to make your work easier, help out?
So we have obviously like options to volunteer. So the food bank runs in a lot of the volunteer space, and so does our op shops. So there's options to volunteer. You know, there's always the donations, and that doesn't have to be going out and buying stuff. That can be you've grown vegetables in your garden and you've got surplus, or you've got fruit that's surplus, and rather than letting it go to waste, bring it in.
You're happy for that to happen?
Yeah, yeah. We actually love that.
Okay.
We love getting the fresh veg and stuff in summer and the fruit. It just gives us extras to give out to our clients, and actually our clients love that too.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be of value as such, you know. We're happy to have that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's really great to know, actually, because that's manageable for
a lot of people, in ways that maybe
the others might not be quite as easy
and
to
I'm
do.
Very aware of, you know, we're very aware of that, so we're you know, working in that space, you know. You know, if there's cafes or restaurants that, you know, would normally put their food in the bin, give us a call, you know. There might be avenues of where we can use it. You know, we've got night shelters that we provide food for, day programs.
Yeah.
So there's always avenue for us to get food and use it in a space where there's a lot of hungry people.
Yep. Kirsty, was there anything else that you'd like to tell us?
So there is another program that we've been running here at the Mission for a while, and that was our Back to School Assistance Program that Bailey support us with.
Right.
We support families who are finding it financially hard to pay for uniform, school books and shoes. We kind of contribute towards that, to helping families get the things their children need to be able to be in school and sort of feel like they're part of it. We don't want kids going to school where they don't have the right uniform or the right shoes or the books to be able to do it. So that's a new project that we've just taken on through our financial mentors. It's been run previously by the social workers, but we've just put it back into our financial mentor space because it sort of fits in around the hardship, and we can offer additional support if they need to through there.
Okay. While you're talking about financial mentors, is there an expectation that if people come to you for food, that you do automatically connect them with your financial mentors to see if there can be help given to help them work with what income they've got a bit more ergonomically? Or
no, so there isn't. We offer it, but we don't want it to be a reason why someone wouldn't want to use our service.
Okay.
Talking about money is tough for anyone in any situation, so we wanted to be it on our clients' term to work with them at their speed, at their pace. If we ask more questions when we do the assessment around the further assistant. So we, you know, there's no questions asked if they want to come in and get some food assistance, but sort of by the third one, the guys will do a bit more, and then they'll offer the food bank the financial mentor assistance. So the team will sort of do an assessment as such on the telephone to understand why there's a continual need. And then they may say, you know, could we book you in with a financial mentor if, you know, and go from there, but it's not mandatory as such.
Right, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do you have families who've been coming to you for long periods of time?
I guess these clients that we see, not regularly, but we may see them a couple of times each year, something's happened.
Yeah.
But we, you know,
pressure points.
Yeah. You know, closer to Christmas, it gets a bit trickier, back to school gets a bit trickier. But, you know, normally it's a quick fix, get them back on their feet, and then they get on their way, and then something might have happened, and so they come back and see us. And, you know, the financial mentors are always there. They may work with a client once, they may work with a client six times, they might have a client that they've worked with all year. It really depends on the client on their pace, their need. You know, we try to work quite quickly with them, but some of them like to have a check-in every 3 months because it keeps them on track as well.
Is there any demographic that stands out as being needing some more support? For example, the elderly, how are they faring in this complex world we're in?
So I wouldn't say there's sort of one more than the other, and I guess there's always going to be stats that prove that. But we are seeing an increase in the elderly, and that's quite concerning, particularly in our financial mentor space. We're seeing that they're starting to really struggle, but it's tough for them to come in and talk about money. Yes. They're from the generation where you don't ask for help. Even getting food assistance is something that's not always, you know, they would do. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing a trend, I guess, more of them coming in because they're having to figure out their living situations. But it's sort of always going to be one more than the other. So we do get organisational referrals, which are, they do prepacked parcels they'll pick up on behalf of their clients. Word of mouth, often I'll see Facebook posts where people needing food, and quite quickly a lot of people, Ring City Mission. You know, if you go onto Food Bank New Zealand website, it has all the local food banks in there. We've got a flyer that we give out around what other organisations there are in Christchurch. You know, we'll, you know, if we can't help them, we sort of tell them who else they could see. The same if they, you know, another organisation can't help.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us that that you haven't had a chance to say yet?
I don't think so. I think we've covered off everything. Yeah. I'm really grateful for any support that we get from anyone.
Yeah.
My team are as well. It just allows us to do our job, so we're grateful for that.
That's good. Well, in that way you are networking with other organisations in the city. Okay. So still looking for volunteers?
We're quite full at this stage for this side of the year. We're meant to have a meeting with the volunteer coordinator today, but we had a meeting and then we got I got busy, so we're going to catch up just to see where we're at for the end of the year. Sure we're fully booked now, but you know, there's always, we do corporates once a week all the way through the year, and then we sort of have just other, like, volunteers in the morning, and then we sometimes have extra project work where we just go, hey, we need somebody.
It's huge to just keep organised.
Yeah.
I mean, just to keep all the bits flowing.
Yeah, and, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot of pieces in the puzzle, isn't there?
We're doing 1,600 Christmas parcels at the moment.
Oh, my goodness.
So we've got corporates in twice a week at the moment.
Okay.
And then we've got to do 1,600 meat packs and 1,600 treat parcels all before the 22nd of December.
Oh, well, if you need extra help, always contact our organisation. There'll be a few of our volunteers who'll probably... Yeah.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah. Definitely, because sometimes, you know, we can have it as well organised at this time of year and something can just happen and then we have to pivot, which we're quite good at pivoting, but it's just, you know, sometimes we need to go out and go, hey, we need to get some extra people. So,
and just remember that as an organisation, we are totally contactable to help any, you know, with anything that your clients may need.
Okay, cool. I know my team do a lot of, my financial mentors do a lot of referrals.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's getting some really complex cases come through. Like community law is actually one that we're doing a lot of referrals to recently, like sending clients to, because the complexities are just growing.
And remember, we've got free legal clinics as well, and employment clinics. We've got a lot of clinics we run. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kirsty. Been great to meet you and to spend time with you and with you and today and see this incredible work that you do. You know, the work that your colleagues, that you and your colleagues do, does make a huge difference to our communities. And I'm pretty sure it's real lifeline for many when things are very tough. So we appreciate your time and thank you for the mahi that you do. And you're doing a lot to ease people's loads in tough times.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. So good to work together. And we send people to you all the time as well. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Right, and lovely
you.
To meet you
nice
both.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come in.
Great.
Yeah. It's cool. This morning, Kirsty's told us about the food bank at City Mission. She's given us insights into how it operates. She's told us about the signing up process that clients need to take first, and then explained the different ways through which they can access food, how often, etc. But just remember too that the food bank is only a fraction of the services offered by City Mission to support Cantabrians. She talked about the financial mentoring that she's also in charge of organising, and the Back to School program, which is another of their new initiatives. You'll find a huge list of other services, such as helping with addictions, homelessness and housing, transitional housing, tenancy, budgeting support, op shops, elder care, social work support, and many others on their website, citymission.org.nz. Thanks for joining us today. Mā te wā. See you next month.
Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains FM website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at Cab in person, by phone, emails, and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate, and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora. Thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.